Oh, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that amazing how the Lord, as we just get into his presence and sovereignly he just works among us. And often he'll do something that we didn't even ask for. But he's just good to us. And all of a sudden you realize that, hey, that problem I had was gone. Or, you know, and yeah. Have you ever had even just a desire in your heart or something you thought about? Wouldn't it be nice? And only to have it, you know, fulfilled without actually articulating it to God. But he knows even your thoughts. I've had that happen before. We delight ourselves in him. And he gives us the desires of our heart. And you know what? It's not that God just wants his sovereign will done in our lives. That is very true. But it's not reduced just to that, should I say, or should limited, because God wants to do beyond that. He wants to have your desires also realized. And you know, when we're walking with him, we'll have godly desires. Amen. We're not going to ask amiss. We're not going to ask for the wrong reasons. So as we're delighting ourselves in him, all of a sudden, you know, how many have realized that your desires change too? The things that you used to think were that important are not. But now you've got a heavenly mind. You're thinking of things above, and you're thinking, Lord, I just want more of you. You know, that is the true riches. He is our exceeding great reward. And that's what it is to really prosper, isn't it? As your soul prospers, you prosper in the Lord. And yes, God will prosper us also financially at times. But remember that with that prosperity also comes accountability and comes responsibility. And we are stewards of whatever he does give us. So anyways, sometimes we get a mindset that we have to be doing something. Well, after this comes that, and if I'm not doing that, everybody's kind of sitting like, okay, you know, that's number three on the agenda for today. What's the hold up here? And people start looking at their watches too. I know I'm in trouble. We don't see too much of that here. Why? Because when his presence is filling the atmosphere, it's like, hey, yeah, who wants to leave anyways? That's a good sign that people hang out for a long time here. The love of God makes us love one another. We want to be with each other. And we're sharing in life together. We're a family. And we're a healthy family. Because he's the one who makes us whole. He completes us. You know, when one member suffers, the others do too. We need to be mindful of what's going on around us and who's, you know, going through it at the time. We need to hold one another up in prayer and rejoice with those who rejoice. But we need to be bonded together in the unity of love, the agape love of God, which is not a selfish love, is it? It's not a, if you do for me, I'll do for you. It's, I want to do for you because I love you. Rather, whether you give me anything in return or not. Amen. When we give a gift, we just give it without the strings. We just say, hey, I just want to bless you. Sometimes that gift comes back, but if it doesn't, hey, it's okay because, you know, that's not why I gave it in the first place. I didn't give it to get. I gave it because I love. You know, God gave his only begotten son for us, for God so loved the world. He's a lover and a giver. And so that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants us to be with him. That's what it's all about. That's life. That's living. And everything else is secondary to that. Everything else is secondary to our relationship with Jesus. And it has to be that way. He's our number one. Yeah. And there's going to be times when that means that you're going to have to choose. Sometimes between a friend or the will of God. Sometimes you're going to have to choose between even your mate and the will of God. Even members of your own household. Folks, the time of compromise has to come to an end for the church. Amen. We cannot compromise anymore. We have to forsake death. We have to forsake the love of the world. And we need to fall in love with Jesus, completely sold out. We need to be, as Phil says, all in. The time has come for the church to be all in. It's all in. It's all or nothing. We're all in. Yeah. And in the all in, there is some liberty there. How many know that's true? Because God does not have us on remote control. We're not like, you know, a robot as he's, you know, when we say, Lord, direct my steps. It's not like we're just kind of like, okay, God, direct my steps. He'll say, do this. Oh, okay. Cooperate. Operate together with him. Listen to what he says. Do what he says. Isn't it really just about simple acts of obedience, steps of obedience? Faith is believing God. We can't say we believe God and not do what he asks us to do. And we can't say we love God and reject his word. Because you can't separate God from his word. When we reject his word, we're rejecting him. Because he is the word. But we've been kind of sharing a little bit about this place, a very real place called hell. And it's not a popular subject. People don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. People want to pretend that it doesn't exist. They want to reduce it just to their own experience here in this world. And yet the hellish experiences that we have in this world are simply evidences of the invisible, amen, realm of hell. It's a manifestation of that which we do not see. And of course, we see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. The world, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And we see the glory and the beauty of God in creation. And in one another, we see the glory and the beauty of Christ on each other. And so we see there's a lot of goodness. Why? Because God is good. And he's revealed his goodness to us. I know it may sound like I'm being redundant or I'm repetitious, but there are just too many that are trying to pick and choose what revelation they want to receive from the Lord. And that's a very dangerous place to be, where we be the judge of what we're going to receive of God or not. What that does is means I'm putting myself in the place of God. I'm my own God. And that goes all the way back to the beginning, to the fall. That was the problem, is that we became separated. And the enemy, even as a believer who have been grafted into Christ, he wants you and I to be separated again through our own acts of disobedience. Now we know that the Father and the Son have entered into an eternal covenant that cannot be broken. But you and I still have choices to make, whether we're going to say yes or no. Now the Father loves his children, and because he's a good father, he has to discipline us at times. But that's because he loves us. Has anybody beside myself been disciplined before by the Lord? Yeah. We don't like it at the time, but later on it produces fruit. Amen. It's good for us. There's a lot of things that we think that we know now, only to find out later that we didn't know like we thought we knew. And so we have to be careful that we don't get an arrogant mind in thinking that, you know, I've kind of got it all figured out here. I need to submit everything to the Word of God. Keep everything under His authority. Amen. And if my own heart doesn't agree with God's Word, it has to come under submission anyways. Because as long as we are rejecting the truth, we are forsaking the mercy that could be ours. We're shutting down the flow of God's grace that he wants to pour into us. We're not allowing him access to those areas in our lives that he wants to have access to. And there's no reason why any believer has to be bound by anything. Why? Because sin is not our master anymore. We're no longer under that power. It's been broken in Christ. I'm no longer a servant to sin. Amen. I'm a servant of Christ now. I've been set free from the law of sin and death. So it's a matter of you and I just agreeing with God. But there's a lot of teaching on hell, a lot of misunderstanding about it. So I'm just going to talk a little bit more about it tonight. It's clear from Scripture that there's going to be two resurrections. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 26. For as the Father, verse 26, John chapter 5, has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So who is the judge? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And then the one that was talking to them. And he said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there's two resurrections, one of life, one of damnation. Now, Jesus taught that the first resurrection is going to be to reward those who serve him. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. Then he also said to them who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. Now, rarely do we ever do this. Am I right? I mean, most of us, I'm talking about us, it's usually people we know, friends, right, that we invite over. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's just saying here, listen to what he's saying. But when you give a feast, verse 13 of Luke 14, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. But what did he say? For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Remember, Jesus said to store up our treasure in heaven, right? Don't live this life to be seen of men, right? Yeah. But do your deeds, do your alms, you know, before God. Whatever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, right? To the glory of God. In Acts 24 and verse 15, I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept. Here's Paul giving a defense that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. What do we see again? Here it is, the two resurrections. And what did he say, verse 16? This being so, I myself. Now, we know that Paul was a man of God. Would you agree?
Yes.
But listen, he says, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men. This is something that we need to ask ourselves. Do I live with a conscience that is free of offense? It's very easy to get offended. And it's very easy to offend. And so, first of all, we need to be careful that we are not the offenders. Would you say amen?
Amen.
But also that we don't allow an offense to poison us. When we look at the mercy of Christ, when we look at what Jesus did for us at the cross, the grace that he has lavished upon us, that which we did not deserve, but in mercy, God gave his only Son as an offering to pay our debt. He has paid the price that we could not pay, in that he took the initiative to forgive. Amen? He took the initiative to love us and to give his only begotten Son on our behalf. So by us taking a look and remembering what Jesus did for us, then it makes it a little bit easier. When we begin to look at others who have offended us. That's why it is so important that we remember the cross. We remember what God has done for us. We remember that it is not by my works of righteousness, but by his mercy that I have been saved. When I remember, it's not because I'm so good, but because God is good. And for me to be like Him, I also need to do good to those who do bad to me. I need to bless those who curse me. I need to pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute me. Amen? So that I'm keeping the offense off. So I live with a conscience that's clean, that's pure, void of offense towards God and men. The first resurrection that Jesus spoke of was the resurrection of the just. That's the redeemed. And this is the judgment seat of Christ that Paul spoke of. And Romans 14 and verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, I believe there's a clear distinction between this judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. I believe this is the first resurrection. Holy and just are those who are part of the first resurrection, the judgment seat of Christ, who will come before the Lord even as he had spoken. For what? To be rewarded for their faithfulness. To be rewarded for the things that they did in their body. Now, some of our works will be burned up. There's gold and silver, amen, and precious things that we've done in obedience to Christ. But there's also wood, hay, and stubble. Those are the things that we did probably with a selfish motivation. What can I get out of it? What's in it for me? Dial 1-800 and send 1999 and you'll have your 100-fold blessing. Sometimes, you know, we can give simply out of greed. Like we're playing the lotto or something, you know. Let's not go into that one tonight. The second resurrection is the resurrection of damnation. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read this last Sunday evening, that I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Who was that? He's the judge, right? Jesus. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Revelation 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead. Death meaning the grave. And Hades being that holding place in the earth. Delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now we know that God does not want anyone to perish in hell. That's why he sent Jesus, amen? Did he not come to save us from our sins? Because the consequence, the penalty for sinning against God is death. Amen? And what is that death? It's not just the physical death, because everybody dies physically. He's talking about this second death. This is an eternal separation from God in hell. Jesus died to save us from this place. 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, what? That he is coming again, amen? That he's coming to judge the wicked and the dead. That he's coming to reign over all the earth. That he's coming for his church, for his bride, amen? To gather us together with him, to meet the Lord in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the sky. Hallelujah. But he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We've been talking about repentance for weeks. Repentance is changing your mind. Repentance is agreeing with God. It's believing what God said and agreeing and lining up with what he says and say, Lord, you're Lord, and I'm not. What your word says, I do. If you say go, I go. If you say stop, I stop. Because I love him. I don't do the things that grieve him. God will not allow Satan and all those who follow him to spoil the new heaven and the new earth, which are to come. And all who serve Satan will end up in the lake of fire. They'll join him there. And folks, you know this as well as I, there's not going to be a party in hell. People laugh and they mock. We are seeing such an extreme shift in everything, where once that which was called good is now spoken of as evil. And people are parading openly their shame now down the streets. And that which was one time bad is now good. Do you see? This is a sign of judgment, folks. And you and I are the answer, because we are the representatives of heaven on the earth. Let the church arise. Amen. The Bible says that those who serve sin are really serving Satan. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the ones slaves whom you obey. Notice he's talking about a person here. When we serve sin, we're actually serving the one who has, amen, has perverted everything. It is Satan who twists everything, who perverts everything. Yes. Have you noticed that in Greek mythology, everything is perverted? You got horses with men's bodies, and you know, you got horses with wings, and you got all kinds of just weird stuff. Because what Satan does is he takes what God has made holy and pure and good, and he perverts it. And that's what he does in our lives. He perverts our thinking. And if we're not careful, amen, he'll pervert your life, because it begins in the mind. And so whether we're going to be following the Lord's, you know, lead, we're going to serve him, or we're going to serve sin, it's whether we're serving sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But he goes on to say, because he's speaking to the church here, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin. In other words, some people are no longer slaves of sin. Is there anybody here free from sin tonight? I didn't say that you don't sin. I said, are you free from sin? All right. Because we all blow it, don't we? Not intentionally, but it happens. Hopefully not intentionally. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching or doctrine to which you were delivered. What does that mean? In my heart, I agreed with God. Lord, your way is good. I am preparing the way of the Lord. I am allowing access for the Lord to get to me. It's not about you and I getting to him, remember. It's about you and I getting in position for him to get to us. By opening the door, by agreeing with the word of God. Amen. As he says, stop it. Okay, Lord, I stop it now. I repent. I change my mind about it. Good. Now I can come into that area of your life and bless you and heal you and restore you. And fill you with my goodness. That's what he wants to do. Hallelujah. He didn't come to steal our fun. Because you'll find out that the things that you used to have fun in no longer are fun. Or they may be fun for a season, but they produce death. But the things that God, amen, gives are eternal, and they're beautiful, and they're wonderful, and they're everlasting. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So we got to quit thinking like we are slaves of sin. There are a lot of Christians who are, you know, allowing the wrong thoughts, and thus they have established strongholds in their lives where Satan is messing them up, oppressing them, robbing them of their joy. And then Instead of saying, I need to repent, I need to find out what's going on here and repent and change my mind and get into agreement with God. Instead we say, well, I'm only human. I don't know if any of you remember that song a few years ago, I'm Only Human. It was talking about someone cheating on their husband or wife. And that was their excuse, well, I'm only human. You know, if we're not careful, we can take that same mentality and try to rationalize bad behavior that's only giving Satan access. And by willfully choosing to serve him, we're allowing him to come in and create destruction in our lives. So God has got a better way. We just got to get to the place where we repent and we realize that it's got to be his way. Nothing else is going to work for me. I repent. Lord, from now on, it's going to be your way. Blessed are those who overcome, you know. Extremely happy are the overcomers, those who overcome the world, those who overcome the flesh and the devil. How? Through our faith in Jesus Christ, the one who has overcome the world, the flesh and the devil. Not by my willpower, not by my, you know, extra effort, but by believing that Jesus Christ has already defeated Satan. That by believing that Jesus Christ has already taken care of the sin problem. That believing that Christ has already paid the debt that I deserve to pay. I look to him. I trust in him. I put my complete faith in him. Complete faith. Because every time I take my eyes off him as my Savior, as the one who completes me, as the one who's taken care of my problems already, I get my eyes back on self and I put myself back in the position of Savior. And I fall on my face and I'm miserable and I'm back into bondage again. Why? Because I took my eyes off the solution. And now I've got my eyes on the problem and I put myself in the position as the one that's going to solve everything. The only thing I need to do is listen to his voice. And if he gives me an instruction, just do that. Like Jesus said about his mother. Whatever he says to do, do it. 1 John 5 and 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Revelation 21 and 6. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But verse 8 says, but cowards, unbelievers. And that word cowards means the fearful who turn away from him. In other words, it's possible to turn away from God. As a matter of fact, Paul told Timothy that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. And they will listen to doctrines of demons, amen, seducing spirits and teachings of demons. So those who turn away in fear, unbelieving, that's really it's unbelief. The corrupt, murderers, the immoral, and those who practice witchcraft. Idol worshippers and all liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now Jesus taught us, once again, that the wicked dead are conscious and aware of their state. And what they have missed. Now we see that in Luke chapter 16. Remember the story that Jesus gave of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man who had forsaken the mercy that was laying at his doorstep when he shunned the beggar who was laying there sick, did nothing to help him, and the beggar died. His name was Lazarus. You remember he went into Abraham's bosom, into the Hades. That's the place that, of paradise. But there was also in that place a great gulf, but you could see across into another place, another compartment. And that was a place of torment where there was flames of fire. The rich man says that he looked up and he said, Lord, have Lazarus dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. The audacity even to have Lazarus after what he did to him. And he could remember the things that had happened in his life. In other words, people think that, hey, I'm just going to live hard. I'm going to party. You know, I'm going to live for completely a selfish life. And then I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Do not be deceived. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. God will not be mocked, folks. And your soul is eternal. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere. You're either going to be in the first resurrection, which is the resurrection of life, or in the second resurrection of damnation. And this is the second death. And those who do not make the first resurrection will be confined to the lake of fire, where the devil and the fallen angels and the beast and the false prophet are. And it says that the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. This is an eternal state. Now, sometimes we want to tell ourselves that, oh, it's just going to be over and that's going to be the end of it, folks. I believe what God says in this word. And I'm not going to twist it to fit my own theology. I need to transform my own thinking, amen, to line up with God's revelation to me. I need to be conformed to the word. Jesus taught us this, not to fear those who can kill your body, but not your soul. I don't know how many of you are aware of this, folks, but, and I'm not saying this to scare, but to prepare. But things are happening very, very quickly.
Yes, they are.
Right now, things are shifting, and they're not shifting in favor of the world.
Right.
But they're not also in favor of the church. In other words, the world wants to take us out. The world wants the church gone. Isn't it interesting that the things that used to be the irritation, such as sin, now it's been reversed so that now the church is the irritation. Things are quickly changing. And we've been living, if you will, in a sort of Disneyland in America. Many of the people around the world, our brothers and sisters, are paying the ultimate price for their faith in Jesus. This is the reality, folks. And so Jesus is telling us too, in America, don't fear people, period. Don't fear man. Don't fear him who can kill your body and do no more to you. But he said, fear him who can both destroy soul and body in hell. It's time for you and I to make a decision. And you know that's happening, isn't it? We've made a decision, haven't we? We're in all the way. We're in this all the way. Do you see what I'm seeing? That there is a polarity taking place? That there is a separation taking place even in the church? There are those who kind of want to just go along with whatever is politically correct. Whatever is popular in society. And then there are those who want to be correct with God. There are those who want to do it His way. There are those who want to love and serve Him and honor Him with their lives, because they do not love their lives to the death. Folks, there is a separation taking place. True Christianity is not for wimps. As it says right here, the cowardly, those who turn away from me, they will also have their part in the lake. Among those also that are consigned to the second death will be those who take the mark of the beast. Now, there's a lot being said about that today. If you just watch a little Christian television, you go on the internet, you can find all kinds of stuff about the mark of the beast. But let me just kind of put it to you this way, folks. Those who worship Satan. Those who worship Satan are not just those who wear pentagrams and black lipstick. Amen. And go around saying, "Hail Satan." They wear three-piece suits. Thank you. Those who worship Satan are those who reject the Word of God. God is not going to be mocked. But these also, those who receive the mark of the beast, are those who have, by a choice of the will, have received the number of his name or a mark. Now, there are many who believe this is the, you know, possibly the microchips that will be implanted. They're talking about, interesting enough, in the right hand or in the forehead. But folks, I believe it goes deeper than a microchip. Amen. It's about the condition of a heart that is sold out for Satan. In other words, they loved their lives to the degree that they were willing to defect, to vow to serve Satan. Some will depart from the faith. By the grace of God, we will overcome. Not by willpower, and you know, I don't want to be so arrogant to say that, oh, not me. I'm going to say tonight that by the grace of God, I will overcome to the end. I can't trust in my own willpower. And that's why God is equipping, I believe, and preparing his people now. He's strengthening us with might in the inward parts. So when the day comes, we will be able to stand up and say, no, I will not bow down as the three in the fiery furnace. We will not bow down to your image of gold. Amen? And the interesting thing about that story is that the safest place was in obedience to God, because Jesus is in the fire with them. Hallelujah. And you know, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we don't fear those who can kill our body. Amen? We fear the Lord in reverential fear that he's the one that's able to keep my soul. He's the one that's able to protect me. He's the one that's able to keep me through it all. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be delivered. In Revelation 14:11, it says, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And listen, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. What does that mean, they have no rest day or night? That means that it's an eternal state. There is this doctrine of annihilation that you go and you're to the grave and you're burned up and it's all over. But the Bible says that something quite different here. Yes. That the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night. This is an eternal state. And you know what? It doesn't matter whether you or not, you or I want to believe this or not. It doesn't change the truth. There are a lot of people who just don't want to believe it, folks. It doesn't change what is true. There's coming a day when this present dispensation of grace is going to end. When the time of fulfillment comes. And at that time, those who are unjust are going to be fixed in an unrepentant state. Those who are filthy will have no further chance to change when the Lord returns to earth. But the righteous will continue to live righteously, and the holy to live in holiness. And again, we can remember the illustration of history where Noah and his family of eight, amen, total of eight, were spared the judgment of God. And the entire world at that time was submerged, amen, and water. It was destroyed by water. When they entered onto the ark, because they agreed with God, because they received the word of God, Noah believed God, you see. Noah was a man of faith. And he believed God to the saving of his family, amen. It says that he moved with godly fear. When he heard that the judgment of God was coming, he moved with fear to make sure that they were prepared for what was coming. Do you understand that today, folks, the church needs to move with godly fear to make sure that she is prepared for what is coming? Because it says that they knew not until the day that he entered into the ark. The world was going on its merry way. They didn't know it happened suddenly. And the day that they entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away, God himself sealed the door. It was too late. No chance. The judgment had been sealed. And folks, that's what it's talking about in Revelation 22 and verse 11. It says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. When God's time is up, folks, when the time of fulfillment has come, he says, he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Hallelujah. Today is the day of salvation. Today is a day of God's blessing and favor. Today is a day where we can get our hearts right with God because Jesus has paid the price for our sin. We run to him. Never run away. Run to him. If you mess up, run to Jesus. Do you know he'll never refuse you? He'll always have his arms open to you. Every time you mess up, he's got his arms open. He says, come to me. I'll forgive you. The problem is this, is that when we run away from him, then we're not allowing him, are you with me, to forgive us and to cleanse us. And it's no different than Adam when he had sinned and he went and he hid from God. And the Lord found him, remember. He said, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was at, but he wanted a response from Adam. And God asked him, he said, well, you know, Adam said, I was naked, and we went and we hid. He said, well, who told you? Who told you you were naked? And so it is, when we sin, the devil's there to accuse. And what he wants us to do is to run away from God rather than to him. Because he's always willing to forgive us, folks. That's the God we serve. He loves us that much. Yes. But you've got to come to him and you've got to position yourself to receive mercy by agreeing with him. Father, I've sinned. Forgive me. And he does. Aren't you glad? Amen. So always run to Jesus, okay? It doesn't matter how bad you blow it. Run to Jesus. And you know what? If you and I will walk in him every day, if we'll stay prayed up, stay armored up, men stay in the word, to stay close to Jesus, you'll find that those times of running to Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, will become fewer and fewer. Why? Because he gives you the grace that you need to overcome. The Lord said, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. You see, those who refuse to repent will believe the lie, folks. There is coming a day when those who refuse the mercy of God will be turned over to a reprobate mind. There's coming a day when those who refuse the love of the truth will be turned over to deception, and they will believe the lie and they will be condemned because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. But today is the day of God's grace. Today is a day of salvation. And it says this in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders. Are we not seeing that today? And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, it says in the New Living Translation, you must warn each other every day. Who's he talking to? You and I. while it is still, quote, today, in today, the day of salvation, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Is it possible for a believer to be hardened against God? Yes. It's very clear. Isaiah 1:18, the Lord says this, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What is he saying? The same thing he's been saying all along. Listen to my voice. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd will lead you, amen, in the way, in the paths of righteousness. He will lead you beside the still waters. He will lead you into places of refreshing. He will lead you to those green pastures. Amen? He will lead you away from the polluted pools of this world. And he'll bring you into a place of refreshment. And it's all made available to us today because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We can come confidently by the blood of Jesus to the Father to receive everything we need. All the grace that we need, the mercy we need, it's at the cross. It's at the foot of the cross. Amen? Amen. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for that tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that you have provided for us an atonement for our sins. Lord, we come to you tonight and we want to say, Lord, whatever needs to be changed in me, change me, Lord. Whatever needs to be exposed, God, in me, expose it. That I might agree with you, God, that I might repent today, that I might get my heart right with you, Lord, by simply believing you and obeying your voice. Now, God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will bless and keep each one that is here, that you will cause your face to shine upon each one here, Lord, that you will be gracious to each one of us here, Lord. God, we pray that you will lift up the light of your countenance upon your people tonight, and that you will give us shalom, your peace. The peace of the Lord be with you, be with your soul. Look to him, trust fully in the grace of God that will be revealed when Jesus Christ comes again. Hallelujah. And when you see all these things come to pass, then look up, amen? Lift up your eyes, lift up your heads. Because your redemption is drawing nigh. So draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, amen? You sinners. Change your mind. You're double-minded, and get into agreement with the Word of God. Hallelujah. It is pure, it is true, it is light. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor. They're heavy laden. It's always easier when we hook up with him. As a matter of fact, it's impossible if we don't. Lord, thank you so much for giving us understanding tonight, Lord. Now, God, I pray that not only will we receive this for ourselves, but, Lord, we will look for others, Lord, that we can share this truth with. Lord, we pray for the harvest. We pray for souls. We pray that, Lord God, you will bring in the lost. Bring in the backslider. Bring in those, Lord, who are wayward. Bring in those who are wandering in darkness, Lord. God, I pray that you would light us up. Light us up for you. Lord, that wherever we go, Lord, we're going to shine for you, Jesus, as you're shining through us. God, we pray that your fragrance will be manifested all places. Lord, we pray that you will open doors of opportunity for us to share the good news of the gospel, that you are not imputing our sins unto us, but you have provided a way of escape that we might be able to stand before you, clothed in your righteousness. God, we ask you for help. We ask you for grace. We know we can't do it without you, Lord. So we pray that you will keep us strong. Keep us focused. Whatever it takes, Lord, keep us from wandering away from you. Keep us in your mercy. And Lord, I pray once again, Lord, that we will be a people that walk in repentance, Lord, that we are quick, Lord, to agree with you, quick to listen to your voice, quick to respond when you call. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just present our bodies to you tonight as living sacrifices.